Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 305 shows this evening. Wow, this is amazing. And it'll be the seventh year of Voices Carry for Animals coming at the end of June. And I'm going to keep going nonstop. So these animals are so well worth, you know, standing up and protecting them, make sure their rights are granted, not violated, and that they live comfortably in peace and happiness and care and love, freedom. That's what we want to see them doing. That's what we're, all of our goals are, to hit those victories for them. That big V word, victory, that is our goals, everyone. So I want to go over a couple things before we do get started here. My name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and host for Voices Carry for Animals on Animal Advocates Radio, coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online. There is a small article on there, and you can share from the bottom of the article, and the promo is on also there too. And if you want to go back and listen to any of these shows, you're more than welcome to, and please keep that share button going and, you know, keep spreading the words, because the more action takers out there and voices, the faster the changes will be made. I cannot make all these changes myself. And this radio platform, we can talk all we want to about what's going on, but unless we take the right foot forward and take action, then, hey, we're going to see results. So the faster and the strength in numbers, Ray Bittner, big shout out to her. She's tuning in this evening, and I hope she calls in because she is a great supporter of this show, Mama Cat. So all these shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. So if you want to go to blogtalkradio.com and search Voices Carry for Animals, or you can put my name in, Debbie Dahmer, D-A-H-M-E-R. The links will pop up, and you can listen and share 24/7. And also on the PPJ Gazette Online, Marty Oakley's website. Give a big shout out to her for helping me out from these shows from 2014 in June. I did 163 shows on TS Radio Network, the show number 164 to current 305 on Animal Advocates Radio, and she helped me get it together. So thank you, Marty Oakley, and she has some hot topics on TS Radio Network. If you just go to Blog Talk Radio and put her name in, Marty Oakley or TS Radio Network. And you can always go back to these shows. to, you know, all the info we're giving out, you know, websites, Facebook pages, Twitter, videos or petitions. So just, you know, stay informed and know what's going on out there in the real world, behind the scenes, because there's a lot of issues that need to still be covered and put in the spotlight and fixed, because it's not a pretty picture for a lot of animals out there that's in need or distress. So please, everyone, do your part. Put a little love in your heart and do your part. And, you know, we'll see the changes coming. But this way you can listen to this show in worldwide, unlimited listeners. You know, keep spreading the word. On the left side of the screen of Blog Talk Radio, you'll see the icons on the radio promo where you can share also on the PPJ Gazette at the bottom of the articles. And, you know, to social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, LinkedIn, and the list goes on, everyone. So I hope you enjoy the show, and there's going to be a lot of great information again. Our thing is helping these animals out in need, and I'm going to bring my guest on. Her name is Meredith Aon, and she's the executive director for SPCA International Global Rescue. And this is such an honor and a privilege to have her on. Jennifer Skiff had got me connected with her of Animal Wellness Action, and I say a big shout out to Jennifer. Appreciate this, because we get the word out there, everyone. You know, these shows keep going and they're nonstop. So we wanted to, and all these amazing guests that I've had on, all of them that have, you know, got stepped up to the plate and spoke up for the animals and looking out for them. So, and all the callers have called in, the audience, a big thank you to everyone for making it happen. Voices Cared for Animals, and you can also visit Voices Cared for Animals support group on Facebook and ask to join. And there's a big thank you to all the admins on there that's helping me out, because I can't always be there, but and doing their part. But anyway, I want to introduce her, Meredith. How are you this evening? Welcome aboard. Uh-huh. This is wonderful.
Hey, Debbie.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. It's so wonderful to be here. Thank you for everything that you're doing. 7 years, 305 shows, super impressive, amazing. You know, it can be really tough in the field of animal welfare to carry on after everything that you see and the cruelty that we see on a daily basis. And I always say, once you know, you can never unknow. So thank you for all of the work that you've been doing so consistently for such a long time. It's making a big difference.
You're so truly welcome. You know, I'm doing my best, and I can't do it alone. So once we band together and become one voice, it's amazing results what can happen. I mean, it's like magical.
Absolutely.
I see those victories coming through, and I was like, hey, I can't take credit, but I am involved. So that's a huge plus right there.
We've all got to work together. Yeah, you're absolutely right. No one can do it on their own. Nobody. But we are stronger together. So, yep.
That's
It's a group effort, and we have to celebrate every victory. And, you know, that's what keeps us going, right? It's seeing the difference being made.
That's right. They're doing the victory dance. That's what we achieve. I love doing that one.
Right.
The victory yell. So, but you want to go ahead to the audience?
Whatever gets you through. Yep, exactly.
That's it. You want to go ahead and tell everybody about yourself a little bit and what you're doing, how you got started? Go right ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you. So I'm the executive director of SPCA International, which I'm sure everyone who's listening is familiar with, but I always go through the acronym. It's the Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. So we are the international version of this. I should say every SPCA in the U.S. and in the world, we are all individually operated. Each has their own mandate, their own board of directors, and each one is doing just amazing, incredible work. So what we do at SPCA International is we are focused on a few different topics. First, we support shelters and animal welfare organizations all over the world. domestically in the U.S. We do that by providing direct grant dollars to them to fund emergency operations, day-to-day operations, whatever it may be. We like to focus on spay and neuter and education, because I think those are two of the issues that if we can get those under control, we're just going to be in a much better position as a global community for animal welfare. And we also give veterinary supply aid. So that's things like spay and neuter supplies, veterinary supplies, sterile surgical supplies, medications, antibiotics for animals all over the world and in places that it might be hard to come by some of those supplies. So we provide about $8.5 million of that each year. And then we do a lot of work with the military. We have a program called Operation Baghdad Pups that was founded 12 years ago, actually. Time flies. And it is focused on helping soldiers who are on active duty orders, who are deployed overseas, who befriend animals while they are deployed. And we help them figure out the logistics of getting them back to the U.S. so that they do not have to say goodbye to their friends at the end of their deployments, and they come and they live with their soldiers here in the U.S. And then the other facet of our military support is called Operation Military Pets. And that is a program where we provide subsidized grants for military families that are on PCS orders, which stands for permanent change of station. And that means they're moving with their families every 18 months to 2 years to new posts, new stations of duty. And the military does not cover the cost of moving your animal with your family. And as we all very well know, our animals are part of our family, so they should absolutely be moved with, parents, children, everyone else. So we provide grants to help cover the cost of what can be prohibitive moving expenses for animals. So those are a couple of the ways that we help our, U.S. military, our domestic shelters, our international partners, and it's just such an incredible opportunity to be able to help and to be able to talk with you about it tonight.
Yeah, that is wonderful. And a big shout out to our military out there. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for protecting our country and our animals and everything. A big shout out to
them. Absolutely.
And
yeah,
we salute you. I mean, I was looking through some photos through your Facebook and website, and the military holding the dogs and cats and everything, and that was so meaningful. I mean, it's like,
it's
wow,
so
look
moving.
At this.
Yeah.
Yes.
I always say that no matter, somebody asked me earlier today, so we've reunited over 1,000 members of the military with animals that they've befriended while on active duty, and the program is called Operation Baghdad Pups, but we operate in every corner of the world. So anybody who is deployed on active duty orders is eligible to apply for our program. So if you're listening and you think this might be you or a family member or someone that you know, please encourage them to go to spcai.org, look at Operation Baghdad Pups, and you can find our application and how to contact us there if you have any more questions. But somebody asked me this morning, do you ever get tired of seeing these reunions? I'm like, no way. How could you possibly be tired of, seeing an animal that, has such a strong bond with a member of our military be, delivered to the U.S. And I swear they come off the plane and it could be 3 months, 6 months. It could be a long time that they haven't seen this soldier, depending on their circumstances, and moments of instant recognition that they're like, you're the one who saved me. I can't believe I'm here. I swear, the animals know. It's a new chapter. It's the next step in their lives.
Oh, yeah. They really thank all of us, Meredith, when their lives start to change for the better, their futures. They just can't tell us, but we can tell, all the efforts we put into it, coming together and making a better life for them. I mean, they so well deserve. They're innocent, all the humans and animals all on this earth temporarily, and we got to make the best of it. We got to help protect them at all times and make sure their, animal rights are granted, not ignored. and to live comfortably, yeah. you know, free from fear
Absolutely.
And anxiety and abuse, neglect. I mean, there's just so many, you know, ways of animals out there. I look at it and, you know, as I stand up on this radio platform for all the animals in need and distress, and it hits from every angle. I mean, I've seen, you know, progress and victories, and we wish they would happen sooner than what they do, but it does take time, everyone. It doesn't happen overnight. We only wished it did. So whatever yeah. you can do out there for them, and, you know, make it happen for them. I mean, you're going to feel good about it, too, because I know one thing, Meredith. If I'm not spending my wills what I do, because on the radio, it's not the only thing I do. I'm out there in social media, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and LinkedIn, trying to, you know, recruit people. Hey, take action, you know, sign this petition or make them phone calls to your legislators. It's so important. And once they hear, okay. you know, here comes these laws, our new laws that come into effect. And we have to still support them. And by spreading the word, because the more, just like a petition, if the petition holder just holds on to that, it's not going to get anywhere. They have to download the signatures and make an appointment with their legislators, you know, so
right.
whatever we can
right.
do. You know, it's
right.
so important.
No, you're absolutely right. We have to be vocal. I will say social media has been an excellent way for people who are animal advocates, for, you know, those that are running shelters, small organizations, big organizations. It's been a great outlet to be able to get the word out there and to be able to connect. And I feel like the global community has really shrunk because we have access to direct communications with animal advocates all over the world. And I think it's a really beautiful thing. So thank you for all that you're doing to be an outspoken advocate for animals on all of your channels and platforms.
Yes. I mean, it's so well worth it too. I mean, just, you know, just like as I get private messages, hey, can you share this please for me? Maybe it's an animal, you know, that's on death row or a petition. Yes, of course I can. You know, that's, it mm-hmm. takes teamwork to see any, and with all these organizations,
yeah.
you know, out there, and a big shout out to you, Meredith, and SPCA International Global Rescue staff and volunteers. A big thank you for all they're doing and these shelters. Look at this big circle here. I mean, it's just a human chain reaction to take action to help these animals in need and distress and making it better
Absolutely.
For them. And it's so
warming
and uplifting that what all you're doing. I mean, it's great.
Yeah. And it's amazing to be able to, I think it's an energy that keeps you going when you feel like you're connected with other people who are concerned about the same thing and working towards the same goal. You feel like you're really part of a team and that you're all working towards the same goal, which is reducing cruelty to animals and reducing the suffering of animals who, like you said earlier, they have every right to live a cruelty and pain-free life. I mean, it's compassion does not cost us anything, right? And we've all seen that phrase floating around the internet. I don't know who to attribute the original quote to, but I always think that, you know, it takes nothing to just be kind to another human, to an animal. It takes nothing away from you as a human being. And so just being able to be connected, because there are tough days. I'm sure, Debbie, you feel it too. There are days where you see some bad, horrific stuff and you just think, are we making a difference? Are we doing it? Are we, you know, how can people be so cruel and put such cruelty into the world? So I think we have to stick together, because otherwise that stuff can really get you down.
Oh, yeah. I see plenty of it, you know, through videos. Like sometimes I can't even finish watching them. They're so – it's
yeah.
so horrific. And you think
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, how could somebody be that cruel or – you know, heartless. I mean, like what you
mm-hmm.
just said, it doesn't cost anything to be kind to a human or animal. I mean, that's what we need more in this world is kindness and compassion and mercy, you know, generosity.
Yeah.
respect, dignity. It's lacking it very badly. I mean, there, don't get me wrong,
yeah,
there's a lot of good people still out there. And a big shout out to all these animal advocates, these animal organizations. I mean, look how many there are. I mean, if you combine all of them, you're talking millions and millions of supporters for animals, animal lovers,
mm-hmm,
animal advocates,
mm-hmm,
you know, cross posters out there trying to save lives. You know, when the, you know, the animals gets overcrowding in there and
mm-hmm,
they put the animals down, it doesn't matter to them what age they are or how healthy they are. It gets to be sad. So there's got, we got to be part of the solutions, not the ongoing problems. Everyone, please spay and neuter your pets or get the word out there, because it's so important. And I've seen where SPCA just did a big push in February for spay and neuter a month and gave over $100,000
yeah,
to shelters who specialize in low-cost spay and neuter operations. Thank
mm-hmm
you, SPCA. That is wonderful. Wow.
Yeah, it was, it felt really, really good to be able to do that and to be able to recognize the people who are really on the ground, on the front lines, doing the work for that. Because, you know, we see a lot of cruelty in animal populations that have a high number of stray animals and a high number of, you know, I hate to use the term unwanted, but, you know, at the end of the day, unfortunately, that is the case. If you have stray animals, you know, giving birth to multiple litters multiple times a year, I mean, the math is just astounding behind how many animals, you know, two dogs or two cats can produce over the course of a year. I mean, we think, you know, it's one litter of puppies, but no, it's like four litters. It's, you know, and it's multiple puppies and kittens, and those are animals that are born into a situation where they don't have a home. You know, I have seen the most tremendously big-hearted people who are community animal caretakers who use their own money, their food, their resources to feed community animals, stray animals in their area, but it's not enough, and it's not ultimately a home and a safe, secure space for an animal with access to regular food and water, which is ultimately the goal, of course, for all of us as sentient human beings. That's what we need access to. We need shelter, we need food, we need water, and we need compassion and kindness. And so every animal deserves to be born into a situation like that. And so if we can make a difference where we're reducing the number of animals that are being born into unfortunate circumstances, we're reducing suffering. And it's a community health issue as well. I mean, you don't want to be spreading diseases, and you know, sometimes with the diseases comes some fear in the minds of local people that you know, might think, oh, the animal has rabies, or it has, you know, some communicable disease that I can catch. And you know, so they want to just be rid of the animals that might do them harm. And it's a legitimate fear. It's a legitimate fear in places that don't have access to rabies vaccinations or, you know, regular health care for their animals. It's a legitimate fear, but it should not be a fear that then becomes a cruelty towards an animal that is an innocent life that, you know, did not do anything to warrant that kind of fear. So for us to be able to humanely reduce stray animals and stray populations, and then at the same time give back to people who, in some countries, it's very cost prohibitive to have a spay surgery. It's cost prohibitive in the U.S. Honestly, it's quite expensive to have your animal spayed. Neuters are a little bit easier, but you know, we want to make sure that the people who want to have access to it and want to have their own animals spay or neutered, that they have access to it, that they're able to care for their animals. So we never want anyone to be in a position where they have to choose whether or not they can care properly for their animals. And so by extending spay and neuter and education, we feel like we're improving communities for people as well. It's We're all connected. There's no separate animals versus people. We're all connected at the end of the day. So spay neuter is so important. It's just so important.
Oh, yeah. And, I hear all this where, you know, the animals, healthy, adoptable animals in these shelters, there's so millions and millions of put down, no matter what age, a year because of overcrowding. And it mm-hmm. keeps going. And, you know, I see, hey, we need some more adoption events. You know, I when I see it on the news where they're, you know, have a pet for adopting, or on the in the newspaper, I was like, this is wonderful. There has to be more to do this, you know, get involved. You know, more mm-hmm. celebrities, I think, should step up the plate. I see.
Yeah,
Cher,
absolutely.
Yes. I mean, we have a handful, but we need more because they are a big influence on this stuff. I mean, I had a show on Lucy the Elephant up in Canada, and Cher is helping out with that. I was like, this is great, you know, and she's getting involved. So in the petition, I had like 3,000 when I had the show April 1st, and I'm not saying just cause my show, but spread it all over, you know, social media. It's up to over 30,000 signatures in a week. So,
that's
you know, to
excellent.
Get her to a sanctuary. But see, when they have the celebrities get on board, you know, they're getting more attention. They got a lot of fans, and then the fans is going to support them by helping them out. So hopefully, you know, the more happens with that. I mean, it needs to. And that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? I mean, all these organizations for animals, they're all over social media. I don't know if you paid attention on Facebook, but there are tons of them. I mean, for, you know, SPCA, you got Animal Wellness Action, Humane Society of the United States. I mean, this list is huge, you know, so everybody's doing their part. And when they, and everyone, you go to, you know, on the Facebook page, if you go into SPCA International, you know, press like it, see what you can do to help out. Share it on your Facebook page and groups or, you know, other social media sites, even the website, you know, donate. Because when you make donations, that really helps out. It's meaningful. It's not a waste of money. You know, their work is there. And there is proof, you know, so.
Right.
Do your part.
Yeah, we were talking about, you know, some of the downsides of animal welfare. But if you want to see some positive videos, I would say go to spcai.org, go to Operation Baghdad Pups, watch these videos. Go to our, you can see our press page. We have lots of reunion videos of animals and soldiers, as I was talking about earlier, through Operation Baghdad Pups. It doesn't all have to be gloom and doom. Sometimes, you know, we need some uplifting content as well. And that's, again, where social media comes in really handy, because we're able to share those victories, as we've been talking about, you know, for the last half hour. It's really important to celebrate the victories and to understand that by making a donation, by sharing on your platform, you are making these reunions happen. I couldn't do my job if we didn't have our supporters and people who believe in the work that we're doing. You know, I always say I'm working to put myself out of a job. The day that we no longer need a society for the protection of cruelty to animals, or prevention of cruelty to animals, I won't have a job. I can retire. But, you know, unfortunately, I don't see that happening in my lifetime, but we're working towards it. I think that's our goal, is just zero cruelty. And, you know, I think celebrating those victories and seeing how you as an individual can make a difference is really important to all of us.
Yeah, our voices do matter out there, and everyone, you know, never think they don't, or wait for the next person to take action. Take action yourself, spread the word, you know, because if we're talking on this radio platform, we don't do nothing outside of this, we're just spinning our wheels or talking behind four walls. You know, take that foot, you know, in the right direction and take that action. That is the key to unlock the door to all changes to be made. And that means from every angle out there, you know, with the, you know, the children, the elderly and the animals, they don't have a voice. We have to be the voice for them and protect them and make sure they have the rights granted and they live comfortably, because that word, you know, abuse and neglect are crimes, and they should be treated like crimes, not no slap on the wrist. You know, so whatever you can do, be their voice. You see cruelty, abuse, neglect, report it, please. And because the next time they might not be so lucky and live. If, you know, they you could be saving life or lives out there. You know, so that means so much. Yes.
No, you're absolutely right. And ultimately, at the end of the day, reporting cruelty or, you know, making sure that somebody can't hurt an animal again, you're never going to feel bad about that decision. You're never going to second guess speaking up for animals, because it's just such a no-brainer. And if your way of supporting the animal welfare community is adopting or fostering or, you know, being involved with your local animal shelters, again, you're never going to regret that decision either, because our animals give us so much. I mean, we can repay it, you know, with love and kindness and food and shelter, but I mean, they give us so much, right? I'm looking at my 18-year-old cat right now as I'm saying all this and just thinking what joy she brings to our lives and how lucky we are that she chose us to be her family.
Oh yes, and they're furry loved ones. Once they walk in, they are, you know, right in your home, and you got to make them feel comfortable. And they're unconditional love, and you won't regret
absolutely.
It, everyone. So go out to your local animal shelter, adopt, don't shop. You know, spay and neuter your pets. Your new furry loved one or loved ones is waiting for you there, and they want a nice home. I mean, that's what they deserve. So please do that and spread
and
the
you
word.
Will benefit. You will benefit from it as well. I mean, there are all these studies that show, you know, they're going to lower your blood pressure and they're going to get you outside to take a walk. I had my cat outside on a leash today. We were, you know, doing some exploring and it was, you know, beautiful weather. And so it got me, you know, up out of my chair, away from my computer for, you know, about a half an hour. And you know, her quality of life has improved. My quality of life has improved. I mean, it's just a win-win situation.
Oh, yeah. They're so well worth it. You know, when they walk into your home and after you've been adopted, they feel like they hit the lotto, you know, because, you know, it's not comfortable living in a shelter. They're safe, but they're, you know, quarantined, I say, and not getting the freedom they deserve. And so once you bring them home, they're happy and they're like, wow, look at this. I can really enjoy this. You know, once they get situated and they're home and they're your furry loved ones now. I got this new, it's a feline cat. It was living out near my good friend of mine's. She has a horse and out by the barn, the mama cat had several kittens. And the one, you know, that was coming up missing, it was sad. They don't know, you know, if they just took off or wildlife or whatever. But named him, he was 6 months at the time, all black with white fur underneath his hind legs, Justice. I said, I'm always fighting for Justice, so I'm going to name him Justice. It was either going to be Justice or Victory. But he is
I
so
love
happy.
It. I love
you
it.
Know,
yeah, they just really improve our lives, and that's wonderful that you were able to take an animal that you know, was born into a circumstance that would not have meant a long life for them, and you're able to give them a safe place, and it's so rewarding to know that. You can make a difference in the world by bringing an animal into your home.
Oh, yes, because my good friend Sandy, she said, you know, anybody wants this, you know, black cat, you know, can you put it on your timeline and groups that you're in, you know, to get her safe, get them a safe home? I said, okay, I'll be over to check them out and this and that. And I went over, she goes, you know anybody who wants them? And I said, yes. She goes, who? I go, me. So it was a good one.
when you know, my first dog who unfortunately passed away just this past December 2020, she was 13 years old. She was boxer mix and her name was Lila. Still tough for me to talk about her without, without cheering up, but I adopted her from the ASPCA in New York City. We had her for 12 years, which is an amazing amount of time to have with her. And I will never forget walking into that shelter and, they have, it's a beautiful facility. They have a glass, it's not individual kennels. It's a glass divider for the animals and a little, hole for you to put the treats through as you're going through and to interact with the animals. And she had a snaggletooth, and I have this very vivid memory of her sticking her little snaggletooth, through that hole looking for her treats. From that moment on, there was no other animal for me. That was it. She was mine and I was hers. And I got 12 long years out of her. And unfortunately she was diagnosed with degenerative myelopathy, which is, basically ALS for dogs. So she started losing mobility in her hind legs and it traveled up her spine to her front legs. But she lived with that for about 2 years. And we were so lucky. She ended up in a wheelchair and then in a stroller. And even through all of that tough stuff, she gave me more than I could have ever possibly given her. And so it was just the best decision that I've ever made. And our cat now, Isadora, has been with us since January, and she's an 18-year-old Bengal cat who has, I give this cat 5 medications a day. She's got all of these, just the stuff that old cats get. But she's an incredible, incredible animal that, deserves to live out her golden years in a comfortable home. And anybody that might be listening and on the fence about adopting or adopting a senior animal, do it. Your life will be just massively, massively improved. And Debbie, I know you agree with that as well.
Oh, yes, definitely. Because you don't get rid of them because, I'm going to get a younger dog or cat or whatever. You let them stay with you until death do you part, keep them there because I've seen photos, Meredith, of where they take these dogs and spend their life and they're dumped at the shelter because they're, old and they want a new puppy coming in. It is so sad. I mean, they have feelings just like we do. I mean, they have emotions.
Absolutely.
And they get hurt. So, it's like keep them, please, until, the day they pass away or because it's so, meaningful for them. That's your home is their home and they love that and they want to be a part of it. You just can't get rid of them like that fast because it's going to affect them. I've seen that on social media and it is so heartbreaking where the animal is so scared or staying in a corner because they're, the parents left them there because they want another pet or they moved and they didn't want to take the pet. It's like once you adopt, you want that pet for, till the day they pass, stick with them. Just like children, you want to, they're so wonderful and you want to keep them until then and stay close with them. Because they're your like best friends, your furry best friend, BFFs.
Right. And senior dogs and cats can be much easier than puppies. I think back to, when Lila was, I used to call her the Terminator because I would take her for a 3-hour walk. And just when you thought, okay, this is it. She's tired out. She's going to take a nap. She would pop back up and, she was ready to go again. The puppies, man, they're a lot of work. A senior animal, they want to relax. It's their golden years. It's their retirement. They need very, very little from us and we can give so much to them. And like you said, move them out to move a new one in, to think of the confusion and fear that they face being taken out of their home. And it can be cost prohibitive too. And there are organizations out there that if you're struggling to care for a senior animal, it can be very expensive, but there are organizations out there that exist to help you keep your animal in your home. So, you know, if you need those resources, you can go on the internet and you can find resources to help you keep that animal in your home, because it is a lifelong commitment, like you said. And so, you know, there are groups that exist to make sure that you are able to care for your animal. So that's something that I always like to mention as well, because, you know, we know that it's a big commitment and it can be pretty costly. So if you need support, there are groups out there to support you.
Yes, and I've seen that too, you know, low-cost, you know, clinics, veterinary clinics and stuff like that. So whatever you could do, everyone, you know, spread the word, because, you know, people say, oh, I can't take care of this pet tomorrow. It's costing me too much. I've heard that. But go to these, you know, do some search on the internet to help out, because your furry loved one's worth it. I mean, they feel pain just like we do, and they have emotions, and they're unconditional love. You know, the only thing is they speak in a different language. You know, they bark or meow or, you know, moo.
Right.
But they, you know, they see like us. They all have hearts and smell and eat and hear and walk and sleep. So they're so well worth it, just, you know, helping them out. They, you know, they're wonderful.
Yeah.
And they deserve the best out there. They do. So everyone, you know, get the word out. Let's do something about all this, you know, euthanasia out there for these animals that are healthy and adoptable. You know, somebody's looking for a pet, go adopt, don't shop. You know, it's so, well, you're saving a life or lives. And they're coming to your home, and you won't regret it. I mean, just like the military, you know, hey, they have the pets. When they have, is it PTSD? And that helps them out.
PTSD.
Yeah, I said it wrong. P, it's, what is it, Meredith?
It's post-traumatic stress disorder. Yep.
Yes.
No, you got it right.
Yep, and I've had a show on here with about that, too, several years ago.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, these animals that help support them. And there's, you know, there's one show I had, I got to remember the name, but with a place where the horses are and, you know, veterans go out there and spend time with them, you know, because they're out there, you know, with our country, protecting our country. And a lot of them have been through a lot, you know, staying away from home for long periods of time, not being able to see your family, your friends. It's got to be a dent in your lifestyle, you know, and so whatever helps them out, even with these, with the, you know, the pets, and, hey, you bring them home, and even with the one, if you know somebody that's, you know, home by themselves and they're lonely, you know, just say, hey, once you get a dog or a cat or even a rabbit or something to help you out, because it does.
Yeah.
And I've seen it happen so many times.
That's how our program was started, actually. It was, there was a soldier, his name was Eddie, and he was on deployment in Iraq, in Baghdad, and he befriended a dog named Charlie. And, you know, he was with that dog every day during his deployment, and we did not have a program. We did not set out knowing that we were going to get into, you know, rescuing animals from war zones, active war zones for U.S. soldiers. It was Eddie who reached out to us, and he said, listen, I have this dog named Charlie. The thought of leaving him behind after all of this time we've spent together, you know, he reminds me of home. He reminds me of animals that I grew up with, my family. He's my one moment of normalcy in my day when, you know, they're witnessing all of these horrific things and you know, putting their lives on the line for sure. So we see it over and over again, you know, these soldiers who are away from their families, risking their lives, you know, they befriend a cat or a dog. We even brought a donkey back, which I'm happy to tell you about as well. But we hear it over and over. I can't imagine leaving them behind. So our philosophy at SPCA International is, if we can give them that peace of mind that they don't have to come back to the U.S. and wonder what happened to that animal that helped them get through a tough deployment away from their family. And, you know, that's a gift that we can give to them. If they can look over, you know, at the couch next to them and see that animal sleeping next to them, it brings just a tremendous amount of comfort that, that I will never personally understand because I haven't lived through that experience. But I can tell you it's very moving to be able to make that happen for these brave men and women.
Oh, yes. And plus on top of that with, you know, these, you know, having them as pets and bringing them to the home, you know, with, you know, you're help saving a life out there. That should be so meaningful right from the get-go. And it could be your new family member, best friend, everything to you. And it's so heartwarming, you know, you get close to this animal. If you open your heart and let the bond between animal and human happen, it's so magical. You know, so everyone
Absolutely.
Out there, let's help save lives out there because it's so important. You know, all lives matter,
yeah.
including all the animals out there. And they want to live too. I mean, if you look at it, the dogs and stuff, they really don't get to live that many years. And we all know that. But let them stay on this earth as long as they possibly can. You know, so, you know, I was looking at Sugar Bear. She's adopted her almost a couple years ago, Alaskan Malamute that from the Humane Society. She came in as a stray and everything. I'm thinking, wow, what happened here? Maybe she just had puppies and they dumped her, you know, because they give you time to for the owners or the mom and dad to come forth or what. And I'm looking, I'm like, wow. You know, they're such an awesome dog, and they all are. And,
yeah.
and I'll tell you, Meredith, she gets we got to get to sing and a clap, and she howls just like a wolf.
I'm sure.
So awesome.
I know. I love that. I love that. They have such personality. And to your point, if you're looking for a specific breed of dog, you know, I know that – you know, sometimes a specific breed can just imprint on you. I see a boxer and I immediately think of Lila and, you know, and I just have all of those memories come flooding back. So if you are just set on getting one breed of dog, you can find it in a shelter. You can absolutely find exactly what you're looking for if you are looking for something specific. So, you know, I always hear people saying that they, you know, they want a Malamute or they want a boxer or they want a certain type of dog.
Yeah.
Those dogs do exist in shelters and you can find them. And, you know, it will be so much more rewarding to know that you've saved their lives. And they just bring so much joy, like you said, you know, so she's singing and dancing with you and she's a part of your family.
Yeah, I got on video.
Brings so much joy. Yeah, yeah, I love it.
I got
on
video and I
sharing it on
that.
Social media.
Oh, yeah. I see that, you know, all the family and friends and stuff, and I said, Happy Monday was on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It was
right.
hilarious.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know she's
they bring
happy.
Us such moments of joy.
Oh yes, and they're happy. It is. You can't go wrong having a pet. I don't care if it's a dog, cat, horse, rabbit, raccoon, whatever. You know.
Right.
Turtles. Hey, it's going to improve your life and bring joy and happiness to it. You know they're unconditional
right.
love. They you can't go
yep.
wrong, everyone. So. If anybody wants to call in, you're more than welcome to. Just try to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. And this is the same number every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 310 area code 982-4270. And press 1 in the queue. We've got another packed house this evening. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And if you want to talk to the guests with any comments or questions, you're more than welcome to. Another great show this evening, Meredith. I can't thank you enough. And for all
that
SPCA International does out there, Global Rescue, because a positive impact in the animals' world and humans, because not only
yep.
that, you're helping humans too. So a
Absolutely.
True inspiration.
Absolutely.
you know.
Yeah, I always say
people.
We're a humanitarian organization as well, because if it weren't for humans helping animals, you know, we wouldn't be able to accomplish the work that we're doing. So for us to be able to give care and support to all of the people that are doing their part to advance animal welfare, we're here to support you as well. We are just as much here to support our fellow humans doing the right thing.
That's right. And we can't give up, because that's what I always say. I'm not giving up under no circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a caller, area code 719. And this is a great, she's a former guest here, Meredith, Ray Bittner, community. She used to be a Community Cats United. And I call her Mama Cat, and she's a big supporter of this show. Thank you, Ray Bittner. Strength in numbers. How are you?
Hello, Debbie. Hello, Meredith.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Meredith.
Yes.
I have a quick question for you. I was wondering, in Colorado, you know, we've been trying to go no kill forever. And recently there's a new bill that they're trying to push this socially conscious sheltering. And I was wondering if you have an opinion on that.
Oh, wow. I don't know that I – socially conscious sheltering. So, yes, I have heard of that. Can you explain a little bit more to me? I'm a resident of New York State, so can you explain a little bit more to me about what's happening in Colorado? I'm not 100% up on the news.
All right. They want to switch from no-kill to this socially conscious sheltering, which would be saving every healthy and safe pet.
Mm-hmm.
But – it leaves too many loopholes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of trouble with certain shelters in the state, which I won't call out, but a lot of killing, a lot of pit bull killing. And as you know, when an animal goes into the shelter, they're freaking out. They hide in a corner. They may growl. They may snap. But they're scared. They're somewhere crazy in them places. So those animals could all be considered not safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Healthy.
Right.
What is healthy? Is FIV not kill it?
Is
not healthy so we can kill it? You know what I mean? There's just, it's not defined in any way. That's what it says, to save all healthy and safe animals.
You're absolutely
and
right, and it does leave a lot of loopholes. Yeah, please go ahead.
I'm fighting it because the shelters that have been doing a lot of this indiscriminate killing are the ones that are pushing away from no kill, which we have some excellent shelters in the state that are 99% to 100% no kill. And they're open shelters, you know, open admission. So, you know, people, some places like excuses. And I'm just concerned that that's what this new bill is going to be, an excuse.
I completely agree with you, and thank you for going into more detail about it. And I am familiar with this. And what it makes me think of is it's very much akin to visual breed recognition, right? So when we determine that a dog is a pit bull or an American Staffordshire Terrier or, you know, whatever the breed is, but all we're using is visual recognition to identify that breed. It could be that they have no history of, you know, aggressive or problematic behavior. We're just looking at the dog and going, you know what, you're not fit to be a part of society. I mean, that it's unbelievable to me. And you're absolutely right. It leaves a lot of loopholes for, you mentioned behavior in shelter for an animal versus in a home are two completely different things. And that's one of the things that we tell our soldiers when we bring our animals back, their animals back to the U.S. for them is give them some decompression time. If you are thrown into a situation where you're scared and, you know, you're fearful for your life, you're going to react differently as a human too, right? And the animals are doing the same thing. And so I think you're absolutely right to be suspicious of this and to be really wary against it, because it's not giving the animals a fair chance based on the situation that we as humans have put them in. So it's not an ideal bill. And thank you for all that you're doing for fighting it and for standing up and being a voice against it.
Well, and you know, for me, for all animals, but I with cats on the most part, and a feral cat, that a street cat that is trapped and brought into no way, shape, or form is going to be considered a safe adoption.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like putting a raccoon in a cage and saying, oh, yeah, come on and pet me, you know.
Right, and we can't talk to them and tell them that you're safe and you're okay and we're going to take care of you. And, you know, they're operating in such a heightened state of anxiety because you're taking them out of their familiar surroundings and you're putting them into an unfamiliar environment. And animals are so much more developed than we are with their sense of smell and hearing and vision. And, you know, you can hear my cat scratching probably in the background. She hates her collar, but I got to keep it on her because I don't want to, she likes to sneak into closets and then I can't find her. But, you know, it's these things that we imprint on them as humans that are against their, you know, what a situation that they would put themselves into. And so you're right. We're creating the problem by putting a cat in a shelter or a dog in a shelter and expecting them to, you know, just go along with it and be okay. We can't tell them why we're doing these things. So they do need periods of decompression,
right.
And they need, you know,
what
fair behavioral and health assessments.
We just voted down this breed specific legislation in
yep.
several states or several counties and cities. And then all of a sudden the socially conscious sheltering is coming up. And I just don't think I'll get the word out.
Yeah.
Double.
Yeah.
So I'm walking
I think you're
by
absolutely
home.
Right.
the louder you bark, the more you're heard.
They've got something to say.
That's right.
Grass must be growing. Yeah, so I just worry about, you know, the wording in it. If they would word it differently, you know, put some boundaries in there, what that means. Because, like I said, does FIV mean now you can kill the cat? You know what I mean? Does kennel cough mean now you can kill the dog?
Right.
You know, and
right.
none of that is in this legislation, and it just, I'm extremely worried about it, so.
Yeah, and you're right to be, and I think by making sure that we have accountability, it's very, very important. So thank you for recognizing the deficiencies in that and being
Cat.
Vocal.
Thank you for doing
advocate.
That. And ladies, we're down to a couple minutes here, and I want to thank you, Mama Cat, for calling in and all of your support, and give Skylar and Allie a big hug for me, and thanks for all they're doing. She takes care of 125 stray cats there, Meredith, in colonies and make sure they're fed. So, but
no
anyway,
small job. Thank you.
Yes, and they're, her grandson and granddaughter helps her out. And a big hug to them. And Skylar, they was guests on the show at one time. But I want to thank everyone. I want to thank you, Meredith, for coming on this evening and looking forward to having you on again and again. And thanks for everything you're doing out there. Keep it up. Big shout out to SPCA International, Global Rescue staff and volunteers. Keep it up. And the military, big salute them. Thank you for all you're doing for our furry friends in need. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in this evening. Next week, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, 4 o'clock Pacific. listening worldwide. We'll have Florida Representative Elizabeth Faroff discussing HB 731. So hope everyone tunes in. Their first reading was on March the 2nd. So it's been over a month, so we want to help get this bill pushed through for animal cruelty, okay? But anyway, all the shows are archived, and listen, you know, 24/7 if you want to go back and tune in. But anyway, hope you all tune in next week. Thank you, Meredith, and be in contact. Thank you so much, Mama Cat.
Thank you.
And Meredith, keep up the great work you're doing.
Thank you, too.
Night is here.